Today, we're talking about an age-old question. Should you be living together before marriage? Does it change if you're engaged or if you're just dating? Should you be kissing before marriage? Our second question, which seems like a funny one, but needs to be answered nonetheless. What does kissing lead to? Who knows? How to prepare for sex in your marriage and turn-offs in the bedroom. Stay tuned. It's going to be good. Welcome to and welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where two are better than one because one is there to help them get up and there is a good reward for their labor.
Amen.
I'm tearing that scripture up. My name is Ronald Corsi Jr.
And my name is Chelsea Corsi, and we're still married.
I always want to say, because I said help you get up, it's like, well, no, they have to fall down. Helps them get up from falling down. Why
right.
am I getting up? Lest I fall. Right. So have mercy. We are over here happy together.
Yes.
The children are with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
The good first lady and reverend, Linda Corsi.
Amen.
Amen. And it's just different. It feels like dating again.
Yeah, it does.
Yes. So I had saw something on Facebook, obviously, and it was a restaurant that somebody I knew had went to, and I said, that's a Mexican restaurant? Oh, and it looks nice. I'm going to surprise my woman. And
because I love Mexican. Because
she loves Mexican. So I said, I'm going to take her there. And I did. And it was good. It was a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to just get our date on. It was a nice little area. Ardmore, PA.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ardmore.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means to anybody.
It was cute.
It was cute. You miss those dating times, Chels. Sad to say, you love your children.
Yeah.
But sometimes they need to go somewhere.
Indeed.
Know, they do. They need to, you need, hey, son, hey, daughter, I love you, but I don't want to see you today. You need to go be with another loved one today.
Indeed, indeed. Let someone else love
yes.
you today.
I don't know who that is for you, but it's not me today. So I'll see you later. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So they're over there, and who knows what they're doing, but they're great. They're in good shape. They're having fun, and we're all over here talking about sex.
Yes.
Talking about sex, because we're still answering questions from Facebook.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So let's get into it.
Let's get right
Our
into
first
it.
Our first question today, is it okay to live with your partner before marriage? And the sub questions there are, how about during engagement? Mm-hmm. What if the wedding date is set? What if it would save you money?
That's funny. There's a lot of things that would save me money, you know, if I don't mean it's necessary. Hey, what if maybe I should stop paying tithes as well?
Mm.
That would save me a lot of money specifically. Mm-hmm. It's like this little 10%, that thing be adding up.
Yeah, it does.
I get my slip at, you know, or we get our slip at
we
the
just
end
got
of the
it.
Year.
Mm-hmm.
Got the slip. It's like, oh, that was thousands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a nice down payment on something.
Yeah.
Have mercy. But in the shortest, simplest answer, no. No.
Yeah.
And the world, and not even, I can say just the world, just people in general, have kind of adopted this thing where it's like, well, if it makes sense, then that means I should be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And God is not always on that page like, well, this would make sense. This would be a good deal. And I've heard the one all the time. It's like, well, I could save money. It's like, when did you saving money become an avenue for you to do something you know the Lord doesn't want you to do?
Yeah.
Especially considering he's saying, I'll supply your needs. So at the root of all these things is when we're trying to play God is pride.
Right.
Is that we feel like we know better.
Yeah.
Than God.
Yeah.
And that's not at our forefront of our hearts, but that's at the root of it. It's like, we're not saying, hey, I want to live with this person, because I want to be God. But at the heart of it is like you're saying, but I know better than God.
Right. No, like, you are.
You know, and he's saying, and here's the thing. It doesn't explicitly say you can't live together, but it says this, that you abstain from the very appearance of evil.
Mm-hmm.
This is the key. Of so many things that we do.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason why I don't drink.
Right.
Certainly the reason why I don't be smoking. you know, or even, you know, talking too close to, with women.
Mm-hmm.
And these could be people I know and are just friends and are lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even talk to them that much. You know, can't be seen in public places with them. Can't give the allure of anything other than this is completely holy.
Right.
This is, nothing is going, I should be giving off, this is the key, I should be giving off, hey, I know nothing's going on over there.
Yeah.
As opposed to
not even questioning what's happening.
Right.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So people living together, I understand it's hard out here, you know, financially, it's tough times. And being able to knock this rent down 2-for-1 mm-hmm. is phenomenal. But the appearance of evil is like, what are these people doing? It ain't even like your roommates.
Right.
I would feel better if you guys weren't together.
Right.
Then I would be like, I mean, I'm even still is kind of hairy.
It just looks bad. And that matters.
Yes.
Because as you said earlier, you were talking about your job and you said, I don't work hard because I want to work hard. I work hard because I'm representing Christ.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that we literally do for the sake of representing Christ well.
Yes.
You know, the Bible says that we are Christ's ambassadors.
Certainly.
You know, and if you think of somebody like a king or a president or something, sending somebody to represent them
mm-hmm.
and send them out like, okay, I know that you're going to represent me well. I know you're going to carry out my wishes, my instructions,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be a good reflection on me. You know, and then you send these people out and they're just doing a bunch of stuff you wouldn't do, saying a bunch of stuff you wouldn't say,
yes.
you know, and completely going again and unraveling the plans that yeah. you have,
right.
Ruining relationships. Mm. Hmm.
Mercy.
You know, then it gets bad. So some people say like, oh, well, if they misunderstand, that's on them. No,
no, it's not.
It's on you.
It's on you.
Because you shouldn't provide opportunity for people to even say, like, that looks funny to me.
Right.
It doesn't matter if they made an assumption.
Right.
Why did you give them something to make an assumption about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Something that's in your control.
In your control. Within right? reason. Yes.
Within reason. Because
mm-hmm.
people can assume that anything if you walk past somebody, you know, and say, oh, hi. And
right. they're
in a grocery store and they just happen to look down the aisle at the same time. Oh, he's cheating.
Right.
It's like, no, that's not the same as you literally living with somebody who you are with.
Yeah.
Unattended to, unsupervised, and it being like, hey, well, are they having sex? Probably.
Exactly.
Probably are.
Especially when we're talking about the unsaved here.
Yeah.
You
and,
know?
and I don't even want to go on. Well, yeah, unsaved, sure, because nothing is inhibiting them from having sex.
Right, because why right. wouldn't you be having sex?
Right, and then we're coming from firsthand knowledge
mm-hmm.
of, I mean, and we didn't even live together.
Right.
And still fell into fornication.
Right.
You know, so.
And that's just being places alone.
Right.
You know, any type of unsupervised togetherness.
Is never good.
Is never good.
It's not good. it's not going to end well.
Mm-mm.
Because here's one thing I wanted to say. I want to make sure I come back to this. Well, I'll say this thing first, is that partially in a lot of times in many communities, but specifically the African-American community, we have this idea that marriage is something that you kind of need to go after you get yourself together,
mm-hmm.
which I think is generational in that a lot of us don't have wealth
mm-hmm.
and a lot of us don't kind of just have it together.
Yeah.
And it's not just us, but just in our experience, you know, like a lot of, we just don't have money like that. Not a lot
right.
of us. And we do. And here's the thing. It's not that we don't make a lot of money. We make tons of money, but they spend so much,
mm-hmm.
right? You spend so much of your money. So now that lack of financial foundation is always kind of overlooming. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of like, hey, you can't afford to just be like, I'll get married and we'll do what the family needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, hey, you need to get yourself secure
right.
and then see about that whole, I want to get married, I want
right.
to have kids thing. And it's kind of backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're really getting married to come together, you're really supposed to be building together.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly fine for you to have nothing.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Like, it's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're just starting. It's better for you. Look, it's better for them to meet you at the bottom than it is for them to meet you at the top.
Right.
And now you have all this stuff and you have all these inclinations. And now here comes a man and he's wonderful to you. But because he's not on your level.
Yeah.
Or here, and that's more of a man woman thing. It could be different for women. Right. But on the man side, now you have a woman who's all the way up here and this is a man. He could suit you. But because you've already established so many things and the time is going on, it's now you're 37 or 40, whatever.
He feels like he has nothing to offer you.
He feels like he has nothing to offer you. And in certain respects, he maybe can't. But if you had already met him in the time before that in college, right, and said, hey, this works for us, let's get married.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can avoid some of those pitfalls.
Yeah.
And that's kind of going down the line. But it's just, it goes back to the fact that it's saying that if we didn't have such a stigma about getting married and wanting to wait so much and establish ourselves, rather than saying I'm going to get married to somebody who is compatible with me that I love,
mm-hmm,
whether I have or not, whether I can do the wedding or not,
mm-hmm,
and I'll just go to the justice of the peace,
mm-hmm,
and we'll
get married. Or even just pastor's office.
Or pastor, whoever. Right? You get married.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a key to it. But that was one thing I wanted to say. The mm-hmm second thing I wanted to say about an ambassador, and I feel like this is the truth. I'm not sure. But I feel like an ambassador cannot be arrested on foreign soil.
Oh.
Which means this. For us, if we are ambassadors for Christ, the world will not condemn us for what we're doing.
Mm.
But it's our job to condemn ourselves. Not condemn, but police.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To be convicted on our own. Mm-hmm. Because in a foreign land, the world, they're not going to say anything about anything because mm-hmm we're the ambassador.
Yeah.
We have to conduct ourselves in a certain manner.
Yeah.
They're not going to conduct ourselves for ourselves.
Right. Wow. Right. Yeah, that's pretty deep. And I just looked it up and you're right.
Oh, well, good thing I was right. Could have been dead wrong. Would have cut all
yeah
that out.
Yeah. And there's layers to, you know, even the question with the sub questions, because, you know, there's people who want to live together just be without marriage in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you just live with the person you're dating just because, oh, well, we love each other, we have fun together, let's see where this goes.
Right.
And it's like the test trial.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, let's see if we like living together. Right. And then if we like living together, then maybe we can decide if we think it's a good idea for us to get married. Where we have mentioned in previous episodes, the issue with that is that there's no commitment there.
Right.
And okay, let's not say that. There is a commitment, mm-hmm, but it's not a lifelong commitment. It's a
convenience, a conditional.
A conditional, thank you. It's yes a conditional commitment. Mm-hmm. When you're dating, it's conditional.
Always.
Always conditional. We're seeing.
Yes.
Dating is what weighs it out, not mm-hmm living together.
That's why they call it seeing each other.
We're seeing each other. Yeah. Absolutely. And hopefully we're actually seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy. We can talk about that another time.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Okay. But, you know, but so some people are doing the whole now let's live together just to see.
Right.
That's like our next step in dating to test it out. The yes issue here is you have a conditional commitment mm-hmm rather than a lifelong covenant.
Right.
You know, when you're in lifelong covenant, which covenant can only be with God, you know, when you're in lifelong covenant, now that means it does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
There are no conditions.
Wow.
You know, now you might switch up on me a year from now or 2 years from now, and I'm not going to just leave you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the okay problem, because now you have all these people that waste 5 years, mm-hmm, 10 years, 3 years, even, you know, 2 years, wasting all this time with these people
yeah
that they were never going to enter lifelong covenant with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder how you look up and you're 40, 50 years old and so, never got married to nobody.
Right.
It's because you have to just. You first of all, it's not about how you feel.
Go into that. Yeah.
It's not about how you feel. It's like, because we can just be like, oh, well, you know, it just didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm married and sometimes it don't feel right with us.
Yeah.
It doesn't always feel right.
Always feels right to me.
Well, always. That's sweet. Well, you know what? It always feels right that we're married. It does not always feel right. And Ron is messing with me.
That's true.
But it doesn't always feel right. Like our interactions.
Our interactions, yes.
Our, you know, level of peace and,
yes,
and agreement.
Right. Tension is not there.
There's tension at right times. You know, it doesn't always feel mm-hmm peaceful. It doesn't always feel easy.
Sure.
You know, and I think people want to see, does this still feel easy? Does it feel organic? And all of this. And it's like, part of this is organic because we've talked about compatibility in the past. If you're compatible in the areas that matter, it's going to be organic to an extent. But then there's a place where organics ends and just decision starts. I made a decision. I made a commitment. I entered a covenant.
Yeah.
So now it doesn't feel easy. It doesn't feel natural
yeah
anymore.
Absolutely.
But I've decided
yeah
that I'm sticking this thing out. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And that's a different level of love. Mm-hmm. Because that's not the love that you feel. That's the love that you decide.
Right.
And that means so much more than somebody that's just like, oh, I'll see if I'm feeling you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, it's a deep, that's real love right there. Like, mm-hmm. that's being in love. Mm-hmm. And people always say, like, oh, I'm in love. How do you know? You know, because you decided now I am entering into love as an action.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't feel in
it's
love.
A switch.
You feel love toward a person. You feel emotions toward a person. Mm-hmm. But you don't fall in love. You can't fall into it. You have to make a conscious decision and be like, I'm in this for the long haul now. Yes. That is what being in love is. And that's what God does.
Yeah, being out of that infatuation phase.
Yes.
Which is beautiful in some regards. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the first time I fell in love, oh, man, it was almost just as bad as it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's this infatuation phase is like the highs are high. But
The
lows are like
awful.
Literally just as low. And it's just like, oh, my gosh, this is a roller coaster of foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing was even going on. It just came with it.
Right.
I would be, like, really upset, like, oh, I can't see this person. And then when you see him, you're like, oh, my gosh, I see this person. And it's just, it's good because it's good to have those emotions and experience them.
Yeah.
But it's not what we're looking for in marriage.
Right.
Your marriage cannot be a roller coaster.
No.
You know what I mean? And as far as living together, it's kind of part of the roller coaster.
It is.
And I feel like it's better to experience that part inside of the covenant.
Absolutely.
Whereas just testing out, it's like this, we're not roommates.
Mm-hmm.
We're not roommates. In lifelong commitment, you can't. So a roommate is like, yeah, I need to make this work because of the money. Mm-hmm. But I understand the money part. I understand that. But you have to consult God on that.
Right.
Consult the Lord or consult a better job. Amen.
Yeah.
Figure it out. And it may be hard. And that's the case. Go get a roommate because you're about to get one anyway.
Right.
Right. But get one that you can't have sex with.
No. Okay.
Right. At the very least.
Help us, Jesus.
At the very least, you know, shouldn't be having sex with.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's just the key, is abstaining from the appearance. In order to be a light, it's like we can't just be out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything we do, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
What it looks like, and I tell you, and I feel like that's one of the reasons why I don't drink, because I don't want, you know, even not even virgins, not even virgin drinks.
Because people can't see and know that it's a virgin.
They can't see and know that it's a virgin,
mm-hmm.
right? They may just think I hold my alcohol well.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those are two rough sneezes right now. But yeah, just remembering that we do not live to the world standard where this works for us. This works for my finances. So mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. You know what works for my finances? Leaving my family.
Mercy.
And letting them figure it out.
Wow.
That works for my finances.
Money would go a lot farther.
Right? Money would go a lot further. I won't have to give it to a household. Now I'll just figure it out on my own. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't do things based off of any world standard. We do it based off of God's standard. He wants you to abstain from evil, you know, abhor sin, keep away from it, so that you remain untainted from the world.
Amen.
And here's the key that always gets me chills, is that it's not always about him. How do I say this? It's not always about how it looks so much as it is about the pull of sin on your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That is really why he wants us to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Because I wish I could remember the scripture. I had brought it up in one Bible study because it was interesting to me that Paul was saying for them, hey, I need you to abstain from these things. And he wasn't saying it for the sake of them looking like something.
Right.
He was saying it for the sake of them being something.
Yeah.
You have to be a light, not look like a light.
Mm.
Even though you need to look like a light, but it's more important that you be a light so that you don't have to try and look like a light.
Wow.
Right? You be a light so that you can just stay away from what will pull you away from God.
Mm-hmm.
Your flesh is strong. It's strong.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to feed it.
Yeah.
You don't even have to feed your flesh. It is ready.
When
you wake up, it is waiting to do something that God does not want it to do.
Yeah.
Waiting mm-hmm. for you to yield that time, which is so, but the spirit needs feeding.
Yeah.
It needs feeding.
Yeah.
Your spirit will become weak if you don't feed it.
Right.
And eventually your flesh will take over.
Right.
And to be frank, you know, living together is a result of that
mm-hmm.
before your marriage, because you're looking like the sin and you are feeding your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You're
making
your,
opportunity
right,
for the flesh.
Your
yeah.
anxiety, your worry about your money,
yeah.
and your worry about the future with your spouse to be, you're worried about that. Those are all fleshly things.
Yeah.
If you feed that spirit, you might come with a better conclusion.
Wow. Yeah, I pulled up a few scriptures. The first one we keep saying, 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to do better with giving addresses for people.
Yes, me as well.
Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Right.
And it actually goes on, because this was about to show me to verse 16, but it goes on to say, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. At the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Mm. Yeah, I just saw it pop up and I'm like, hey, read that too. But but the main thing I wanted to touch on here, like it's saying, even in laughter, you know, the heart is sorry. It's like these things that we enjoy, these things that are fun and ha ha hee hee, and we're having a great time. But it ends in death
right.
and it ends in sorrow mm-hmm. and heaviness. And, you know,
yeah.
And it says you're going to be filled with your own ways.
Mm.
Like
yes.
you're going to
yes.
become
right
or not even become. You're going to be who you are without God.
Yes.
That's what you because it's what you decide to. It's what you decide to entertain,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's why the Bible is saying, like, run from evil and cling to good,
yeah.
you know, because it's not that simple. And also 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed unlest he fall.
Yes.
And I thought of that one because a lot of people say, we're not going to do it, though. We're strong enough. We're not even feeling tempted in that way. Like, God has just blessed us.
You a lie.
God has just blessed us with, like, we know
yes.
ourselves.
Yes.
You know, we know ourselves. We have self-control.
Yes.
We can tell when we're feeling. And when we have those feelings, we just do this.
Yes.
We just do that. And Satan is like, bingo.
Yep. Got him.
Take heed lest you fall. You're not like guarding yourself.
No.
You're not making you're making opportunity for the flesh. You're giving Satan a foothold.
We have been there.
And he's waiting for you because he's
yes.
waiting to like egg on the flesh.
Yes.
He's gonna find ways. Y'all in the kitchen cooking together and you done tripped over a spoon that magically fell under your foot. Satan over there like, boop. Let me just put this spoon under her foot. She gonna trip into him.
Yep.
And then her breast is gonna be on his
right
shoulder.
His shoulder. Oh,
and
no.
then her shirt's gonna get disheveled.
Oh no.
And then he's gonna see him. And then
okay.
It's like, but seriously, it's like that is what Satan does. He wanders around the earth,
yes.
seeing who can I mess with today? How can I mess with them today? Mm-hmm. You know, and we're just like, oh, we're good though. We're
yeah.
stronger than that. And God is constantly saying, no, you are not.
Yes.
I am. Greater is he that is in me than he
uh-huh.
that is in the world.
Uh-huh.
But if we're not feeding the spirit, if we're not walking in the spirit, it says you have to walk in the spirit, which is an action,
mm-hmm.
in order to not fulfill the desires of your flesh. If
yeah.
you're not walking in the spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in all things, it's like being spirit led.
Yes.
Is the spirit really saying to you, you should move in with him, Paula?
Mm.
Sam, you should move in with Samantha.
Oh, boy.
Is that what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? You're having your prayer time and you're in your word and you're in community with other believers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the spirit is saying to you?
Oh, no.
That's the question.
They ain't telling nobody. You already know. They're just going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they're going to do it. And they'll reap whatever comes from it will come from it.
Yeah.
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 Well said, I think.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So our severe recommendation. Here's the key. If you really, if there's somebody, especially if you're engaged, get married. That's fine. How about this? You get married and then move in together.
Boom.
And then have your wedding.
And maybe don't wait so long to get married. Let go of those cultural standards and just
yeah.
say, we're going to do what the Lord says.
Yeah. And I'm not saying 2 weeks. I'm not even saying 2 months. I'm not saying, here's the key. It's like everybody is different
mm-hmm.
and you don't really know how long it'll take with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take a bunch of years for you to know, like, oh, okay, well, this is especially for a man. And I would say, especially for a woman too.
Yeah.
My Lord, like this is a person, and there's no such, and well, I don't, no such thing as like a soulmate. At least I don't believe so.
Mm-hmm.
there's people that work for you.
Right. I mean, God has people planned for you sometimes. He does. Yeah.
But it's not that you're the only person on earth
that it would work
if you weren't here, or if you just decided, hey, I'm feeling this in my spirit, but I just ain't doing it.
Right.
There will be somebody else.
Right.
All right. So if you have that person, they can be that person for you. Just say yes. You can get married. 6 months. Hey, all right. If you know that's the person for you, don't have to wait and say, well, let's get it together. No.
God will do that.
Because you're making it harder on yourself. You're making it hard to just be like, we're going to abstain forever.
Mm-hmm.
And forever can be like 2-3 years of like, oh, well, I'll just hold on. Like, no, you're going to fall.
Yeah.
You're going to fall. Unless you're extremely holy and have a lot of parameters in your life. Otherwise, you're probably going to fall.
Yeah. I wasn't going to read the last one, but I do have 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 here. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion.
Paul said it best.
Yep.
All right.
Amen. All right. Our next question. I've heard some say that I shouldn't kiss my girlfriend until the wedding day. Is that biblical?
That's funny to me. I don't think there's anything biblical about it. And that there's an issue with that. And I'm saying I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
What kissing meant. Let's determine the kisses.
Right.
Paul, you know, not Paul. David kissed Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
They were not gay.
Mm-hmm.
They just loved each other a lot. So kissing and literally some things says greet each other with a holy kiss. And this is talking about men to men, right? So what a kiss means from a woman to a woman, you know, they weren't talking about anything like a same sex sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They were just talking about love for each other.
Right.
So it seems kind of ridiculous to be like, well, you can kiss Jonathan, but don't kiss this woman that you love.
Right.
That would be ridiculous. And don't greet her with a holy kiss. It says a holy kiss.
Right.
Right. Something that is set apart. Now, I'm not saying that you necessarily need to kiss your woman holy. I'll give you a holy kiss. No.
Well, but if you ain't married to her, maybe.
But here's the thing. There'd be a difference between a holy kiss is like, this is a Christian kiss. This is God is my father and he is your father. Therefore, we are brother and sister kiss.
Uh-huh.
Right. As opposed to, that's still the case, but we're trying to get married because I love you. Right. I think it's fine to kiss, but it depends on the kiss and where and why and who and how.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, I feel like it's fine for you to have. And this is so funny because we're just pitiful. And we're speaking from experience. Like we've done all these things.
Yeah, we definitely. Right? I think as long as you admit that, then it's not hypocritical, because people love to say, then you're a hypocrite. No, it means we've learned from our mistakes and we're trying to advise you to do better.
Yeah, like you can't be making out.
No.
Really at all.
No horizontal laying.
Literally. Definitely. no sort of body to body anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than a well supervised church hug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, it's just like, and here's the key, it's like, is it strict? Yeah. It really is. It's like you have to protect your body and your mind.
That's it.
From the flesh.
That's it.
The flesh's natural inclination is to stroke. It's like, yes, if you going to give me a nice tight hug, and we were just heathens now that I think about it, but a nice tight hug is like, yes, that's all I need. We can take this further.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on my page? Are you ready?
Right.
And it's ready.
Because your body is ready.
Your body is ready. But kissing is what leads to that, right?
Yeah.
It's like like you said earlier, like a form of foreplay.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't plan on it, you could eventually lead to that.
Right.
Like making out. Mm-hmm. But I think it is okay to have a supervised person's kiss. Good night.
So you're saying if you're not alone.
If you're not alone.
Yeah.
And that's hard. I know it's hard, but especially in this day and time, but I feel like it's the way.
Yeah.
It's the way.
Come on, the way.
It's the way.
You just told me.
I did.
Christianity was originally called the way.
Yeah, I've been in the way, Lord. I feel like I've been in the way, Jesus. But yeah, like it was the way. The way is to protect yourselves from yourselves.
Yeah.
And that I think is okay. Like, because now if you're going to go on a date, I feel like that's an even deeper question. Because I feel like if a date is in a public place, like, people aren't going to be making out at a dinner table.
But they will in the car.
They will in the car. So now the key is, do y'all need to be in the car?
Yeah.
Do I need to be driving y'all around?
Because that's how it first got bad with us, in the car.
Is it? I don't remember.
It was.
Yeah. Have mercy.
Not like we didn't fully, but that was where you can make out in the car.
Yeah, you can. I used to kick it in the car.
Yeah. It's. I'm sorry. I want to make sure you're finished.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I am definitely one who supports. And once again, this is someone from experience.
Yeah.
And yes, God has given us different strengths and different measures of, you know, just different things, you know. So some people may have more self-control in that area, and that's wonderful and great. But take heed lest you fall.
Yeah.
That's all it's saying. It's like the Bible is so clear that it's like, don't do nothing that looks bad, like you said, not only because you don't want it to look bad to other people, but because it can turn bad. Mm. It can turn bad. Like, don't think too highly of yourself to think that there's no way this will ever happen to me. Everybody always wants to think like, oh no, but I would never.
I'm the one.
You know? And it's like, no. Like, don't, there's a problem if you're really thinking of yourself that highly that you're like, oh, I could never fall into this temptation, you know? And, but anyway, I definitely am a supporter of group dating now.
Yeah.
In retrospect, you know, like, hindsight is 20/20. You know, I'm definitely a fan of group dating. I like the ways that the Duggars and the Bates and all of that handle dating. I like it. Mm. They recommend to them no kissing. They only do hand holding and church hugs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they tell their children, like, you know, it's up to y'all, but we recommend that you don't kiss at all. For me, I don't think a peck is a problem. Right. I don't. But that is something that I think is between you and the Holy Spirit, you know, and your whoever you're in a relationship with. Yeah. Like, but I really think you need to just consult the Lord, because we do have different levels of self-control as people.
Yes.
And maybe you're good, but your partner is not.
No.
And what if you don't even know that? What if they're struggling I'm okay, though.
He's struggling. He is not good.
You know, and I just feel like in order to protect yourself, in order to protect them, in order to hold up the integrity of your relationship, in order to really just have, like, God wants to bless you so immensely. And we rob ourselves of so many blessings by, like, these little slips and falls that we could have avoided. Oh,
that's true.
And I'm like, why not do everything you can to just keep it blessed?
Wow.
Why not? Like, is it really going to hurt you to, because once you're married, you have a lifetime of aloneness and sex and making out and whatever, traveling and whatever. It's like people look at it like, oh, but then we don't get to have any fun. It's like, no, once you get married, it's a free-for-all.
Free-for-all.
You know, it's like, we're just saying that if that's not your spouse, save that for your spouse.
Yeah. How much sweeter? How much sweeter would it be?
Seriously. Know,
if people were, like, first of all, cheating would be down. I would say significantly. It's because that's a dream, right? But if people weren't fornicating and experiencing all these sexual experiences with people, so now what happens is you have a sexual experience with someone and it's wonderful. And you're like, oh, that's cool, but it didn't work out with them. Cool, I'm going to go to the next person. And it should be good because, you know, I know what I'm doing. And it's horrible. So now you've had the experience with somebody who was great and now somebody who's bad. So now you have the experience of, oh, I know it can be good.
Right.
So now I'm going to go find somebody who's good. And then what happens is it's bad again. And then it's bad again. Oh, and then it's good. Oh, so I got one. But then that don't work out. Oh. So now I got to go find another one. Might be bad again. And now you done got you 15 people in.
Yeah.
Still single. None of it's working out. So what would have happened is if you had been with the person that you love and put it in, no pun intended, put the work in with them, you can make sex good.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Absolutely.
You can make it good.
It can be good with anybody.
Right. And sometimes it's just good because it is.
Yeah. Like, I mean, because of what it is.
Right. Yeah. You're not always just working super hard like, oh, you know, female, I wish he would figure it out. or man, oh, she sucks in bed, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, I know, right? That's funny. But it would be that with your husband.
Right.
And it would be so much deeper. It would be so much more blessed.
This is a thing that's just for me and you.
Just for me and you.
Yeah.
I've only experienced this with you.
Right.
What do I have to compare it to other than movies that ain't real?
Right.
And other stuff.
Right. No, I definitely am of the mindset, group date, guys. Group date. And I'm not going to say no kissing. I forgot to ask the question. I'm not going to say no kissing, but I'm going to say no deep kissing and no long kissing. Mm. That's what I would say. I would say that it needs to just be an on and off. You don't need to be lingering with touch. It doesn't need to go beyond a short touch until after you're married, because the more you prolong touch, the more you prolong touch. And that's just the way that we're wired. So stop it.
I can't imagine like the feeling that you would have felt if I had never touched your booty, never touched your butt or, you know, anything. And we got and even just a small kiss would have been great. And I'm sitting there just thinking, oh, the day we get married, I'm going to grab her butt. Oh, my gosh. It would have been so much more sweeter.
That's true.
It would have been better.
No, it's true. Yeah. But what I love too is someone had said before that it was their you second cute, marriage. Jels. Oh, thank you.
You look cute.
Thanks.
I don't like that. You know I don't like cute women.
You're funny.
Like that.
Oh gosh.
No, you look cute.
No, thank you. But it was her second marriage. Yeah. And I remember her telling us that she prayed that God would make their first time like her first time ever.
Yes.
And she said that he really granted her that it felt like the first time she had ever
done it.
Yeah. And so I do want to give that encouragement that, you know, if it's already happened, whether with the person you're with or somebody else, it's not like you're just damaged goods and you're good for nothing now. And it can never. God redeems.
Yes.
Like he's a restorer.
Yes, Lord.
So, you know, it's never. But you do have to. However, there's always consequences to things.
There is.
There's always consequences. There's always going to be things you miss out on.
Right.
When you don't do it the way God told you to.
It's true.
And so I'm just really big on do everything you can to secure all the blessings of God.
Amen.
Because he's going to be so good to you and it's going to be so much more good.
Yeah.
The more, you know, like he doesn't give us commandments for him.
Yeah.
They're for us.
All of them. They're all for our, but they're only for our benefit.
But it's not biblical that you can't, that it says is that biblical. It's not biblical that you can't kiss before marriage. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Not but it does say don't have sex before marriage, and it says abstain from evil.
Right.
Those are the things we know.
Right. And kissing used to be an old thing. Babies come from kissing. You know, you just kiss, you're pregnant. It's just like, no, it's just what the kissing leads up to. Kissing
Absolutely.
Leads to touching. Touching get to rubbing. Rubbing get the strokey doke. Strokey doke, and that's a baby.
There you go.
Right, that's where it comes
we
from.
Didn't even get there. Yeah. Have some babies before you plan to. Have mercy.
Yes.
Help us, Lord.
But a kiss goodnight, I think is fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine too.
Good night. See you next
Especially
time.
If you're doing it the Duggar way.
Well, yeah, because somebody's there.
Yeah, if somebody's with you, and that's what I mean by in the car. I'm like, I don't think you need to be having no solo car rides. Y'all need to meet at the place. Mm. Like, if you're not, like, with chaperones, and people hate that word, but it's, like, it's helpful. It's just accountability. Have people with you. I would just, like, okay, I'll meet you there. And when we leave, we need to, like, make a pact that we are not going to go get in one of our cars together.
Not to talk.
Like,
not to
pray, listen to a...
Amen.
Nope.
Come pray with me.
Because that's how it happens. You're just like, we don't even realize that our flesh is just inching.
I know somebody that said that baloney. You would just pray with me for a little while. Just tarry with me in the car, and I'll feel better when I'm
Yeah, you're going to feel better, all right.
And then that turns into something else. Lay your hands on me, please.
Okay.
Just lay.
First of all, if anybody's saying that to you, man or woman of God, you need to, they ain't the one. Because they're drawling.
They are drawling, yes. Certainly drawling.
That's hilarious.
Have mercy.
All right, moving right along. This was a funny question. Somebody was making a joke. But I wanted to include it in the podcast.
Put it in.
¿Dónde está la vagina?
Yes, where is the vagina?
But that is a question some people, like, literally have.
Yes.
You know, there's, like, people that are fumbling around. trying to find where things go and what things are and all of that. And I'm going to say that this next portion, if you are not like on the verge of getting married, like if you are an unmarried person, you don't need to be super interested yet. That's more of a like right before you're about to get married, you need to know. Okay, find out. So this is for the married folks, but well,
we can't supervise.
I kind of want to hear what you would say.
Well, oh, where is the vagina? Oh, I mean, well, the vagina is in between. It's the same man, you know, because a person this had to be a, well, I don't know. Was it a man that asked this?
Oh, yes. And it wasn't a real question. They were being funny.
Well, as a man, the vagina is the same place your penis would be, but on a woman.
Right? Well, no, not like where is it?
Oh, what? No.
Well, like I thought maybe we should get into the mechanics of.
Well, hold on. First of all, when you just said that, I thought it'd been like maybe it was a question about how come I'm not getting any.
Oh.
Which is, I didn't even consider that.
We could
that.
Take this in so many ways.
Yes, that's a whole
It was a joke,
thing.
So.
That's funny. But anatomy-wise, I mean, the well, is that the proper thing to say? Because this is more about, you know, that's more about pleasure points of a vagina.
Well, that's what I mean. I feel like we should actually help people out if they need it.
Well, you have your clitoris. Well, really, if my understanding is correct, and I have to be a scientist, you have your clitoris that actually goes down into the, I want to say on the internally into what the labia, right?
Well,
you have your clitoris that you can see. This is very. You have your clitoris, which is the small little, whatever you want to call it. Small little sensitive spot, right at the top, and at the bottom is the vaginal canal.
Yes,
right. That's what you would insert your penis into.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good for a woman for you to caress or touch or lick. You know, her
as we've established.
As we've established.
As a proponent of
have mercy to lick her clitoris, it'll stimulate her vagina, therefore it makes secretions, it makes juice, it makes, you know, wetness for the man to be able to come in easily,
right,
and for the vagina to contract and become more tight, mm-hmm. so that the friction becomes steeper, more tense, I guess.
Yeah,
right.
Firmer,
tighter friction. You know, the pleasure of sex is because, you know, things are rubbing together,
right?
And they are sensitive areas that have nerve endings that feel good because it's wet, it's warm for both of you, and the inside of her her vaginal canal is what they call the G spot, which is really, I believe, just an extension of the clitoris,
right?
Yeah, but it's on the inside, it's on the top portion. That gets the stimulation. That's what makes sex nice, because you stimulate her vagina through her clitoris externally, and now the inside is lubricated, it's wet, and now when you go inside, it's tighter, and now she feels the clitoris on the inside as well, and the G-spot.
Yes.
Right. So that was a very description, right?
Boom. I mean, but I feel like people need that. Especially, like, not everyone, but some people need that.
Yeah, I guess.
Because I'ma just be real straightforward about it. You know, we have already established that we have watched some things we shouldn't have watched in our day. Some of the things I have seen, when you watch the amateur ones, like, not the high production, just homemade videos, some of the things I've seen where they're, like, a couple.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, this is us having sex as a couple. Like, we're together. This is our sex. Yikes. We just put a camera on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just see the man. Well, you see the woman stimulating the man in some way.
Yes.
And then he just goes in.
Yep.
Right. And I'm like, there's no way this is pleasurable.
Yes.
Or achieving an end goal for the woman. Like, orgasm is not happening for the woman.
Yeah.
You know, like that way. I feel like men sometimes don't have an understanding of the anatomy of the vagina and how the vagina works. And then they have an unsatisfied woman. Sometimes the women are okay because they don't realize they're unsatisfied.
Oh.
That's what I've come to find out. But then other times, like you were saying, God forbid she's had prior sexual experiences, whether it be masturbation or other sexual partners or toys or whatever the case may be, where she has had an orgasm before, and then you're or being just having a better full experience, because the orgasm is the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, not always, okay.
Not always.
is the climax of yes. the, it's what you're working toward.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, you know, if she's had an orgasm before.
Yes.
And just had an overall pleasurable sexual encounter, mm-hmm. you know, where there's no working up to it being pleasurable, because eventually it'll get there.
Yeah.
But like, you don't want it to have to get there where in the beginning it's like ooch each ooch right. each, and then eventually you're like, okay, we're all right now,
right?
And by the time she's all right now, he's like, yeah,
I'm out of here,
orgasm, I'm done. How was that for you, babe?
It was great for me.
No, and this is what we were talking about before, that it's like, these are things people don't want to talk about because it can feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's important because sex is, God gave it to us as a gift for mm-hmm. husband and wife, and it's undefiled between husband and wife.
Right.
You know?
And that.
But it's supposed to be pleasurable.
Well, yeah. And the key is that for the man understanding that her vagina is not like your penis.
Mm-hmm.
Your penis can get, you know, your penis can get erect quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas her clitoris becomes more erect, but it literally takes longer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, generally for us, right? You know, when you're masturbating, you can do whatever you want to do
because
mm-hmm. you know your own body more.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a thing about it, right? But for you, it'll become erect for her arousal and her to actually get to the point. It's like, what is it like? It's like plateaus, like
yeah.
where it gets high, drip down a little bit. It keeps gradually coming up. Whereas a man is more like kind of just a ramp,
mm-hmm.
right? Women plateau, whereas a man just has a ramp and kind of gets to the point up here, up, out of there. It's over. Whereas a woman can have multiple climaxes, have mm-hmm. multiple orgasms during sex, and it doesn't affect her as much,
mm-hmm.
right? But the key is like giving her that pleasure is like literally, if you please her first, it becomes more pleasurable for you,
mm-hmm.
drastically.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that's where the vagina is. The vagina is there waiting for you, husband. Waiting for you to please it.
Is there anything women should know about a penis? Because I feel like it's more needed to talk about like the anatomy of a woman, just because men are given this horrible lack of understanding and just vagueness, and they mm-hmm. think you can just go in and she's good.
Mm-hmm.
But like, is there anything women should actually know about a man like being pleasured, or are y'all just good?
I mean, I honestly think it's different for every man because some men like oral sex to be performed on them. Some don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some is better for some than it is for others. So it's hard for me to say that. But in that regard, I would just say communication.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be scared. And this is where marriage matters, because when you have that foundation of covenant, you don't have to have, you know, every conversation doesn't have to be weird.
Right.
Like, let's just ask, hey, how do you like this?
Right.
And he can just say, hey, I don't like that at all. Please never do that again.
Right.
Or he could say, that's wonderful. That's great. Or he could let you know, hey, I don't really care for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Either way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think in general, men are, I feel like they're just easier to please. And, you know, and I want to say that, but I'm not necessarily sure about that.
Not as much of a science, though.
It's not as much of a science. And that, I want to say that you're not going to break it.
Ooh.
But you could. Depending on what you're doing.
We are not medical doctors. Disclaimer. Please consult your physician before.
But just, I mean, and that's more concerning, like oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna break it, and he'll probably enjoy it. Even if he's not making, you know, a lot of noises or anything, he probably just enjoys it, and just the fact that you're, you know, pleasuring him.
Yeah.
Is nice.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Little quick anatomy lesson.
Yikes.
you reminded me of something I wanted to say too, because I've been in family therapy with a family member, and something the therapist said that was pretty profound, because when it came to this specific family member, I was having a hard time expressing my feelings mm-hmm. because I was afraid that my expressing my feelings was going to hurt them
sure.
or upset them or make them feel a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
But I was saying but with my husband, I'm like so able to just say, hey, when you did that, it bothered me. Hey, my feelings are hurt. Hey, like, I'm just so like free with that with you, to the point where I had to like put a filter on it, you know? Because one day Ron just straight said to me, like, can you, like, say more positive stuff? Like, I feel like you just say all the negative and never say when anything's right. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
I don't even remember that.
It was a few years ago, but I did because I felt so bad.
Sure you
but,
do.
and I've tried to do better since.
Good, praise God.
Hopefully you don't remember because I don't do it as much
anymore.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Or it's more balanced. I don't think it's that I don't do it, but it might be more balanced. Anyway, but the therapist was saying that's a sign of trust. And trust only comes with time, you know, because it's something you have to build, that comfortability with somebody. He's like, you know that your husband, even if he does not like what you say, like, he's not going to hang it over your head. He's not going to leave. He's, you know, your relationship dynamic is not going to change, you know, like, you know that he loves right. you unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is the benefit of marriage, where you can have those tough conversations mm-hmm. without them being so tough. Because
yeah.
it's just like, yeah, but we're together and we love each other. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah, you got on my nerves. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All right. Yeah. No, I forgive you. All right. Moving on.
Do not be afraid. And I'll be honest with you, even that, like, that was a serious sexual moment for a Christian to say.
It was.
On screen.
It was.
But it's necessary, right? Mm-hmm. And it's good to know because when you're satisfied sexually in your marriage, you don't have the need to look elsewhere.
True.
You don't have to be finding yourself wondering or hearing people's, because people like to talk.
Right.
Hearing people. I would say probably women more than men. Men don't actually talk about sex with their wives and people they really love as much as women probably think they do. Whereas women.
Is that Christian men or just all men?
I think all men, honestly. Okay. Men don't really like, because.
Well, you're saying with their wives.
I'm saying with like their boys.
Well, no, I'm saying, but you're saying right. they don't talk about sex okay, with their
right.
wife.
Right.
With not the, just right. if somebody they hit that last
or somebody
night.
They really love. Like,
somebody.
I'm not just going to be out here talking about, yeah, that's
I
what
got
I
you.
Did to
okay.
her, blah, blah.
Okay.
It's like, that's men are not as crude
right,
as maybe
right.
people may think.
Right.
Whereas women, they're not crude, but they're a lot more open.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all guys, like, y'all actually talk about sex and what
sometimes.
Happened. Right? But we don't want you to be out here like, you. you negative Nancy in the group, everybody going around talking about, oh, we had their sexual experience, and now you got to sit there and be like, oh gosh, I don't know what's going on over here. I don't know what he been reading doing.
Right.
I don't want that to be the case. So when I break down the anatomy of the you know of a woman and how it works, it's good for if somebody is not pleasing you as your husband, and it's good to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And if you can't say those things, hey, put this video on.
Right.
I'll say it again.
Yeah.
You can just replay it. Hey, did you get that? Let me rewind that or take it back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. But we're talking about people in marriage and in Christian
right.
covenant. We
right.
want you to be satisfied sexually so that you're literally not out here wondering like, oh, I wonder if she's better.
Right,
because
right.
Because here's the key. And as a man, my flesh naturally already wants to do that.
Right.
So what I don't need to be doing is having sex and being super unsatisfied with
right.
it and not being able to say something to you
mm-hmm.
so that we can fix it.
Right.
So that we can rectify it.
Yeah.
And I won't say it's different for women. They're not as bad as we are, but even women, like, they want to be sexually satisfied and they don't
yeah.
want to just be out here looking at some sexy man. Here I come walking by singing song, Lord Jesus. And then I see you down. You look down, sister. Let me just hold your hand right here. Amen. God bless you. And now she wondering, oh, I wonder what that hand can do.
Exactly.
It's just like, hold on. I was just saying hi and blah, blah, blah. You don't want to be in that case.
Fingers for the Lord.
But because Chelsea is satisfied sexually, she.
Amen.
Amen. She literally is, like, she doesn't even think about that stuff.
I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
And I'm only saying
I mean that
she
from
says
the
it.
Bottom of my heart. I, before the Lord, can tell you, I don't walk around like, ooh, I wonder if he would.
I wonder
ooh,
if he would.
Because I have it already.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's not. And that's the difference between men and women a lot, too.
Yeah.
Where men, it's a different mindset that you have just as mm-hmm. a man, just the way that you're created. Where it's kind of like this, kind of like the hunting instinct in a wolf.
Yeah.
Where it's like they're still going to be a wolf.
Yeah.
No matter where you put them, what setting, what training you give them, they're always going to have that instinct of, ooh, what's that? That squirrel? and unfortunately, it's like that's something that men, that's one of their crosses they have to bear. Is that they have to, but you have to realize like, oh, wait, but I'm good. Like I'm full.
Yeah.
But if you're hungry.
Yeah.
And something run past and you're like, ooh, hunt that.
Right.
It's a lot harder to say, don't hunt that.
Right. It is.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions about that, you can feel free to, you know, text us if you have your number, our number, and or leave a message or something.
Right. Private messages or, you know, we got public, DMs whatever. And whatnot.
Yeah. So.
All right. And even if it's about like having that conversation. Yeah. All right. We got two more.
Two more? I thought it was one more.
How to prepare for sex. And that was physically. Hygienically, specifically.
Okay. Well, I'll talk for the man.
Okay.
Man, wash your behind and genital region.
Yes.
It's pretty straightforward. I mean, it should already be washed on a general consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, if you can't be coming to your wife with dirty penis,
mm-hmm,
or dirty whatever.
Yeah.
Just in general without it either ruining the experience or giving her an infection.
Absolutely.
So you have to just put soap and water down there, scrub around,
mm-hmm,
rinse it off, give it another go.
Yeah.
And then it should be good. But if you're a person who has a stronghold in that area, give it another one.
Some people have a little extra funk.
Give it another one. That's mm-hmm all right. Get on in there, man. And typically nothing, at least I've never experienced or heard about a man being irritated by just soap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it's different for women, but right, men, right, just take some soap and water to that thing and get it together. Yeah. And if need be, after that, dry off and throw some lotion on. If you're too ashy, that can ruin the mood.
And you're not. And let's specify, he doesn't mean on your genitals.
No, I do not mean.
Because we don't.
Do
women
not,
cannot have lotion and
excellent
all kinds of
specificity
stuff inside. It needs,
to be soap and water.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
is good for your genital area.
But please do lotion your ashy feet.
Yes, ashy dogs,
ashy knees,
and my knees get ashy from kneeing furniture all day. I look at them things like, oh my gosh, these are horrible.
Now you look like brown.
I'm brown. I put brown to shame. That's the bad part. He'll be like, Lord, you need some lotion, boy. Yes,
hilarious.
That's for men. It's pretty straightforward. And here's it's just like, yeah, just and if you can't, what happens? Okay, so what happens if you can't necessarily take a shower? They have cleanly wipes.
They do.
We have wipes that we
use. Yeah, we keep toilet wipes.
Just to freshen up. Because look, when you go to the bathroom, like stuff can get stuck down there, or toilet paper or any type of little debris. Like you may not know, especially because men were hairy.
Yeah.
And we generally don't shave as much as women, so stuff can get stuck down there. You want to just make sure that stuff is down there.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're good. Make it a good experience for her as well.
Especially depending on what you prefer.
Right.
Like, you need to be even more thorough.
Yes.
The more you explore each other's bodies.
Yes. The more you want her to be down in that area, the cleaner it needs to be.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. So I want to say for both parties, breath.
Mm, I didn't even think about that. See?
Pits.
Yes.
Genitals.
So, first of all,
rear and feet. I just wanted to get through.
Well, I'll say, okay, but I'm sorry. I thought those things were give me's. I'm sorry. I just wanted to establish that. I didn't say those because I thought those were standard, like, oh, let me not be a must bucket.
Right.
And let me not have just eaten spicy nacho Doritos.
That's
and
all.
Just be like, let's kiss.
Some people don't think about it, though.
Right.
Some people don't, especially if. Because some people like the spontaneity and everything. You and I are more of the type where we're like, look, I already know it's the end of the day. Yeah, like, it ain't fresh. It ain't fresh. Your mouth ain't fresh. Down there ain't fresh.
Ain't
your feet is sweaty. You know, stuff stank. Like that. And it's like, y'all are about to be together.
In it.
Okay, y'all are about to be together, up on each other, in each other's faces, in each other's body parts.
All of that.
All of that. Feet exposed. You know, so it's like just being mindful that you're not, and it doesn't mean you have to have just taken a shower, but it does mean that if you know that you took a number two, say, hold on, I'll be right back.
Go get that together.
Just go get it together.
Come on.
That's all. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Yes.
You know, and then you hit the hot spots. You hit the hot spots. It's the breath. It's the pits. It's the genitals.
Breath is taking me out. Just rolling up. Hey girl, I just wanted to let you know that Wendy's got that fork. And I just had one.
And now I'm ready to eat you. Sorry, we're funny. Okay.
Oh, man. He ate a whole four for four. Like, yeah, I'm ready. It's like, sir, you just had a four for four. Nothing in that was refreshing. Nothing, sir.
Not at all.
Got burger face, and now you want to start kissing. It's like, no,
and don't take it for granted that, like, oh, it's probably all right. Because I feel like sometimes people might kind of do their whole, because I've heard some people share some stories with me about stuff that has unfolded. And, you know, I'm just like, okay.
Transpired.
Right. Don't. Yes. Let's just err on the side of caution.
Yes, that's the
that
key.
If I brushed my teeth at 8 a.m. and it is now 8 p.m., I might need to at least just hit some mouthwash real fast.
Yes, mouthwash. Yes.
You know, and if y'all don't want to ruin the mood, if spontaneity is really important for you, we're okay with taking time to prepare.
Yeah.
But like, if spontaneity is like a must for you, mm-hmm. like get in the shower together. Like, just go in there together, because that can be hot and steamy.
Yeah, that's true.
In the, you know, I
if
mean,
you live in the, yeah.
I, in the innuendo sense, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, go in there, brush your teeth together at the sink, and then get in the shower and lather each other up.
Lather them
and
up.
Whatnot, and then stay in there or take it to the bedroom, whatever you decide.
Whatever you decide.
You know, like, but yeah, you definitely, it can be a downer.
Yes.
If you're trying to, sorry, I just had a memory.
A downer.
Sorry, I just remembered something funny. Anyway, but like, I'll tell you later.
Okay.
But yeah, it can like disturb the mood. Mm. You know, our senses are definitely, they have effects on us. You know, like when you smell certain things, when you taste certain things, when you see certain things. Like, if I look at you and you're super ashy, you know, so there's certain things that they do, like, have, it enhances or detracts from the experience.
Some men, some women like an ashy man. Look, I keep him working.
I mean, maybe. But that's between you and them, I guess.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
That's but, yeah, those are the things I would say. Because if you need to just take a quick one and you're just trying to make sure that the right spots are right, you don't always have to get your arms and your legs and your back and your stomach and all that, you know? But, like, if you're just trying to freshen up real fast, you know, hit the hot spots. That's the main thing. Hit the hot spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. For women, a tip I do want to give, because it's something I had to come to learn because I'm a more sensitive person. An unscented, dye-free soap is best for your lady parts. Because you can wind up making things worse using fragrances down there, using sprays and all kinds of other stuff. Down there is not meant for all of that. And it can actually cause you to get infections or throw off your pH balance. And then you'll wonder why, like, an hour after getting out the shower, you smell like you haven't showered in a week. And the smell will get different. It'll get weird. It'll get bad.
What's going on?
You know, because once you start throwing stuff off down there, it can just be.
Lady funk kick whoa. Up on you.
And now you're sitting here like, but I promised I washed. Like, what is going on?
It's a lie.
Unscented, no colors is best.
Paraben free.
Oh, okay. All of that is nice too, but specifically unscented and no colors is best.
Amen.
Amen. Turn offs in the bedroom, we've already addressed that stinking or looking ashy or just bad. Wearing. Well, you know, let's talk about that though. What are some turn offs in the bedroom, Ron?
I don't know. You've never turned me off.
Oh, well, okay.
You're a turn on of anything. What would
What
would turn me off in the bedroom? That's a good question. I was thinking more for the woman, which is funny. Like, if somebody's out here being too, it depends. Like, I feel like it would depend on what they like. Mm-hmm. If he was out here trying to be too cocky or too confident, he was just like, let's take it easy here, Richard, Steve. Let's take it easy here, buddy. But for me, I have no idea. I don't know. I can't think.
Ron's
of
ready to go.
Willing
participant is my qualification.
Yeah. I guess a smell would be. Yeah. That is a little bit depending on. I mean, obviously, if it's crazy, you know, we praise God. I would just have to let you know. It's never been like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be a turnoff for me. I'm not one of those people just like, hey, I want the natural.
Right.
I don't care what it is. Just like, nah, No.
And some people, and that's where we say communication and knowing that you and your spouse are you and your spouse.
Right.
Because maybe your spouse is like, I don't want you to shave.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe your spouse is like, I like you to smell like your natural essence. That's and all of that.
Beautiful essence.
And maybe they are. But that's something you guys need to discuss. Yeah. I mean, well, how about like hair, clothing, anything?
Not turnoffs, no.
No?
I don't care. Not like that.
Hmm. How about self-esteem?
That's more of a turn on than not have. I'm sorry. Let me say it correctly. Your self-esteem, I'm talking about in the area of confidence.
Oh, okay. I was right. talking about the opposite.
Being more confident about yourself, that's a turn on. Mm-hmm. But if you're not that confident, it's not a turn off.
Hmm.
You know.
Okay. I have heard some men say they don't like when women are like down about themselves.
Yeah.
Like they kind of want the woman to come in and be like, I know you want this.
They
want to
be a porn star.
Yeah. Well, true.
That's all that's the only thing that's based in. And I'm not saying that that's wrong if you're confident.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Or if that's what the man likes.
Or if that's what he wants.
Yeah.
But a lot of that's just based in what we've seen. Because if all we saw was women being like that, then we would have been like, oh, that's how I think my woman should be.
Mm, that's interesting.
If all we saw was a woman who was just kind of like shy and not super confident about her body being mm-hmm. naked, then that would be normal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so many images of this woman coming in, which is just like, oh, I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to parade around. I'm mm-hmm. going to look good. And he's going to want me, and I'm going to do whatever I want, blah, blah, blah. So now we have that expectation.
Right.
Right. But, yeah, definitely not for me, not a turn off.
Hmm.
Yeah, if anything, it's more of a challenge.
Because
as your husband, you know, that would be an opportunity for me to have you grow in your confidence.
True.
And to be more comfortable around me. Because the reason you're not confident is because you're not comfortable.
Right.
And if I can make you comfortable, then you'll be confident.
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, as far as a man turning off a woman, I definitely think hygiene is big for most women.
Yeah.
Just good hygiene and good looking skin, just lotion.
Gotta work on that. Help me, Lord.
No, you're funny. You're fine. But, yeah, no. I think that the only turn off I could think of is disinterest in my reactions.
Oh.
Or like my, you know, just
yeah.
and just a lack of prioritizing
your pleasure.
Yeah. I think that's the only thing I could say is that like if I felt that you were kind of just out for you mm-hmm. and that you're too oblivious. Mm. That would be a turnoff for me.
Well, yeah, they can get oblivious.
But yeah. Other than that, I feel like as long as, and I feel like people are individuals, so you really need to talk to your partner. But excuse me. That's the only things I can really think of is just someone, and maybe someone who's not. I would say that. More than likely, most women like an assertive man. Mm-hmm. I don't think that most women want the man to be the one that's like, oh, well, you know, I mean,
whoa,
you know, it's like we typically like being dominated. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having the choice of, you know, taking the lead in things, but like or initiating things. Mm-hmm. But I think that we typically want to be, you know, like. Gotten taken, you know, so I think that if you were the type that wouldn't ever initiate or like would just be too slow to respond and like catch the hint and go with it or like too hesitant in your actual actions during, you know, the is this okay, is that okay, you know, that wouldn't be good for me. But other than those things, I think as long as your hygiene is all right, and like I said, it doesn't have to be pristine. Just you just need to know when you're out of pocket, you know. Just you know, yeah. As long as you don't have a boogie hanging out your nose, I'm good.
Hey man, that was our last question.
That was our last question.
Good. In closing, or in conclusion, this is the last part of our sex questions.
Yes, it is.
Okay, praise God. We got through all of them. A lot of heavy stuff I've really talked about. But I think it's good to talk about. It's great to have real conversations. Mm-hmm. We're talking to married people. If you're not married, I mean, you're grown. Ain't nobody stop you. And we appreciate the view. Praise God. Or the listen.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, it's for marriage. And we want people to be able to enjoy sex. To let it really be undefiled. Let it be undirtyable. Mm-hmm. Let it just be something that is for you guys in your home and pleasurable and or wherever, your hotel, don't matter. Mm-hmm. Just pleasurable and something that God ordained, something that is wonderful for both of you. And we want it to be wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yes. So I love you, my love.
I love you too.
If you've made it to the end of the video, thank you. At the end of the audio as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Please give us a share. Give us a like. Give us a comment. Whatever that comment may be. We want feedback. We want to create community. We want this to be a good space for people to be able to have conversation that they may not be able to have otherwise. Mm-hmm. So we thank you. And we will see you next week. God bless you.